Bev, okay?
You're listening to Talk Sports.
Are you driving?
Yeah, I'm driving right now.
No, you're at the Waffle House.
Oh, no. No, I'm at the Waffle House.
Crying emoji face.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
What's so funny, Beverly?
What do this have great waffles?
You know who else has great waffles, Beverly?
Okay.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
You know, Beverly, I remember two Sundays ago after LSU game. When we woke up and you made Your scrambled eggs are the best. Those biscuits you make, fluffy.
And this feels creepy.
I'm 1340 WKGN.
1232, John Curry to Bev. You up? Eyeball emoji, purple pickle.
There we go. There we go, the old eggplant.
Hour two kicking off in the White Claw Studios. Before we get to Draven's headlines, please put it on the Fox Sports Knoxville Twitter account. Let's get a poll question up. Have you ever eaten Cheetos past the age of 18? I would like to know because I look over during the break and Hayden's behind the board eating a sandwich and I see him just putting Cheetos down his mouth and I just wonder, like, have you ever eaten Cheetos past the age of 18? Should you eat Cheetos past the age of 18? Please put that on the poll question. Hour two headlines. Draven, what do you got for us?
All right. We were talking about the NBA game last night, and one of the big takeaways for me is how about LeBron picking up Jamal Murray at the end of the game?
Yeah, we didn't talk about that last segment. Good point by you to point that out. LeBron was like, okay, because Jamal Murray had it going again.
Yep. He was hitting, oh, man, the shots he was hitting, the left-handed over, was it Rondo guarding him? Wow, that shot was unreal when you switched to the left hand.
Jamal Murray's ascension, he's obviously going to be one of the biggest, if not the biggest winner of the bubble. I mean, I guess whoever wins a championship will be the biggest winner. So, like, if the Heat win one or LeBron wins one, they'll be the biggest winners of the bubble.
Yep.
I would say that either way, like, Tyler Hero and Bam are going to be up there. Jimmy Butler, just that Heat trio feels like winners, but Jamal Murray going to be right there below them in terms of the guy who's done the most for their stock. I'll be curious to see where he gets ranked in terms of just point guards in the league after these playoffs.
Yeah. Because he has put on a show. And I think he's – I mean, other than Lillard having his little run early in the bubble, I feel like Murray's been kind of almost the story, really, NBA playoffs.
I would say Lillard and Booker.
Yeah.
Did a
Which
lot.
Feels like a forever ago.
Booker does feel like forever ago. Yeah. They didn't end up making the playoffs. But they went 8-0 and Booker was balling. So, like, he shouldn't be forgotten.
Yeah.
And like you said, Dame – dragging that Blazers team, which also seems like forever ago, to the playoffs, shouldn't be forgotten. But Murray has done it for a longer time in bigger games. But LeBron said, I want the challenge. And he said, I got to go clamp up Murray. And he clamped up Murray. And Murray scored 32 points last night. Strangely enough, 0 for 3 from 3. Didn't hit any threes last night.
Didn't realize that. But,
yeah. Got to the free throw line and hit just tough twos.
Yeah, and LeBron actually.
How about that switch, though? We got to give a shout out. What Jamal Murray did driving to the rim, going up for a dunk, pulling it down under LeBron and scooping it up, like that was five times better than Michael Jordan's against the Magic. And I know Chris Webber and Reggie are like, whoa, that's blasphemous. But like Jamal Murray's actual move was five times better than what Jordan did against the Lakers. I get that the times were different. So maybe when Jordan did it, it was like the first time anybody had really seen it. Even though I still contend Jordan didn't have to pull it down to, like, scoop it under. I feel like he could have just laid it in. Murray couldn't because LeBron James is up there getting ready to block it. And then Murray's like, nah, going under and then going to put some English on it and twist it in. That was one of the best moves I've ever seen.
And the fact that it was on LeBron, I feel like just made that a little bit cooler, just little bit better.
For sure. And a LeBron that was trying to block it, like, LeBron was up at the rim. Like, if you see the still, like, LeBron's head at the rim, he's trying to engulf the ball. And Murray's like, whoop, they pull it down.
Yep.
Not going to be able to jam this one on LeBron. Better think of plan B. Anyways, move ahead.
But I would say that LeBron in clutch time against when he was guarding Murray, which is 5 minutes less in the game, five points or fewer, he held him to 0 for 2 shooting, which kind of did look like he was kind of getting shut down a little bit. Murray was later towards the game. The Nuggets, I believe, didn't they not score a basket in the final 3 minutes, or was it two?
I didn't notice it if that was the case, but I mean, that would check out.
Yeah.
By the way, so far, Hayden, you're getting a lot of support. What's so wrong with eating Cheetos? kids don't eat Cheetos, another guy says, and they're always in those big bags, and they have snack-sized bags for lunches. I don't let them go to waste, so he eats Cheetos. Barry says he's a 41-year-old man, and baked Cheetos is an elite beer snack. So you got a lot of support here, Hayden.
Baked Cheetos is good. I like baked Cheetos, and I like regular Cheetos. And puffs are okay, too.
I feel like you can't eat the puffs. Is it the puffs we can't eat? I feel like the puffs...
The puffs are a little childish.
Okay, maybe
like.
It's the puffs that I'm really against. Plus, to be honest, I just don't like the taste of Cheetos, so maybe, maybe I'm biased.
It sounds like you're biased.
I'm admitting that I might have some bias here. That's the first step of changing, is admitting that there's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
I've never liked Cheetos. My sister always loved Cheetos, and I would get mad when she would get the orange stuff all over everywhere.
Yeah.
So maybe I just have been conditioned to hate Cheetos my whole life. But the puffs, can we agree the puffs? You can't eat the puffs?
Yeah, I'd vote for that. No.
The puffs are also really messy.
I just don't like the little ones either. The little, like, the little thin ones.
Like these?
The crunchy?
Yeah. I can maybe eat, like, two of them, and I'm like, okay, I'm done. Anyways, next headline, please. Apologies, though, for age-shaming the Cheetos boys. I should have just been...
It's 2020.
I should have just been questioning your taste. Not your age, but just your taste. Like, Cheetos are trash.
I agree. Not a big Cheetos fan myself. So the SEC basketball schedule has come out for...
Got a little turmoil in Team Haven. You see how quickly he threw you under the bus, Hayden? You had his back earlier.
He threw me under the bus so hard earlier. That is not true. I was not even mentioned. I'm just sitting here, you know, just typing my little computer, having a good time, and Hayden all of a sudden just throws my name out there on the whole West Virginia thing.
Did I not say the truth? It was the truth. I mean, yeah, you said that they were going to beat Oklahoma State.
With you. Like, yeah, I could see him.
You're the one who's brought it up. I agree with you blindly. That's the problem. And you're saying you didn't say it. Like, why would I have just said that out of the blue?
Team Haven.
Excellent.
Turmoil. Turmoil. We'll get it together.
I can't even get a bet off.
Anyway, so the SEC, they've announced their start of their conference schedule. It usually starts in January. They're going to bump that up just a little bit, and they'll be starting in late December. They'll be starting December 29th in the 30th, and pretty much what they're going to be doing is they're setting a schedule that will be compromised of 20 play dates that would accommodate for an 18-game conference schedule. So they'll have two open dates, and one of those open dates will be for the SEC Big 12 Challenge. That'll happen in late January, and the other date will just be kind of an open, I guess, to keep that open, you know, for any potential postponements, anything like that. And it looks like the women's will be pretty much adopting the same exact schedule as well. The SEC conference schedule coming out. And as we know, the non-conference schedule, or just, you know, basketball in general, will be starting November 25th. So the basketballs, they'll be here before you know it. That's going to be coming up real soon. So we'll be getting excited about that as well. Other college football news. So Purdue wide receiver Rondell Moore, did you guys see that? He will be making a comeback. He'll be coming back for the Big Ten and their return to the college football season. He opted out, was going to make it to the NFL. He's predicted as really one of the top wide receivers in the upcoming NFL draft, but he decided to stick with Purdue, and he'll come back for another season for the Boilermakers.
He was going to be a borderline first-round pick.
Yep.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite players to watch in college. He's so explosive. Super fun player. Happy he's back. Happy we get to watch him one more time.
Yeah, and a huge plus for Purdue. I mean, especially you know, in a competitive Big Ten, to have their star receiver. Because if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it Rondell Moore who just went off against Ohio State? Was that last year?
Two years ago.
Freshman year.
Was still there.
Right, okay, yeah, that's right. But that's, I mean, Purdue scored like 50 points. And I think that was kind of Rondell Moore's
breakout game. He was an All-American his freshman year.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude's explosive. He's arguably the fastest player in college football.
So that'll be exciting for Purdue and the return to the Big Ten. Some other college football news. Deion Sanders' son, who was committed to FAU. Is it Shador Sanders? Shador Sanders, is that right?
Yeah.
He actually got an offer from his father at Jackson State University. So,
wow, surprise.
He tweeted out, very blessed to receive an offer from Jackson State University, I believe. The whole picture had his dad in it. So I got to ask you guys, I mean, does this put a little extra pressure, right, with your dad coaching? Is there a little extra pressure to go to Jackson State, especially when, you know, FAU is not a super big school when you're comparing the two?
Well, it's like I said, like, it'd be one thing if he had a better offer than FAU.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know, like, what's going to happen with Deion Sanders because they're not playing football this year. How long do we think he'll be there? Like, if I am Deion Sanders' son, I'm like, Pops, like, come on, like. You know, if I commit to you, like, that's got to be a 3-year at least. You got to be there at least 4 years. Like, are you going to be there for 4 years? or you're going to leave, and I'm just going to be stuck here with another coach. Because, like, I don't think any of us think Deion Sanders is going to be there for longer than, like, 4 years. I don't. No. I'd be – honestly, at this point, I'd put it 50-50 he even ever coaches a game there.
You know he has better offers than FAU, right?
Well, I'm just saying that's where he was going, though.
Yeah, he has an offer from Alabama, Florida State.
Imagine that was a committable offer, at least to play quarterback.
Yeah, maybe not to play quarterback, but he has better offers than FAU, so that's like kind of surprising that he's committed there.
Yeah.
It's probably one of those things where, like, yeah, you just want to stick to playing quarterback, and that's the highest level school that was going to let you do that.
I guess it was Lane Kiffin when Lane Kiffin was the coach there when he committed.
Isn't he really good at baseball, too?
I think you said that already, but that was, I think, when Deion today is referring to T. Martin's.
Oh, okay, yeah.
For the second time.
Yeah,
the second time.
Made that mistake, man.
He has an offer from Tennessee.
Right, but again, I don't think anywhere was. And again, I don't even know if like those were committable offers because, like, to me, if you have those offers and you picked FAU.
Seems a little weird.
And I don't know if it was when Kiffin was there or not because I thought maybe it was Willie Taggart because, like, Prime and. Deion Sanders and Willie Taggart have a good relationship from like their time at Florida State. Like, I mean, they were close there, so I didn't know if that'd be for Kiffin or not. But again, like, I to me, it's 50-50 whether or not Deion Sanders even coaches an actual football game there. Like, in the back of my mind, I would be worried about that if I was going to commit there, and maybe not if I was like a one or two star that was going to going there that didn't have much better offers. But if I was a guy that could go play quarterback at FAU, I'd be like, Dad, like, come on.
What about the connections? Because, I mean, you got Prime, you got T.O., you got Warren Sapp, you got all these different
Deion said that
athletes.
Wasn't true. Deion said, like, that staff wasn't true. So I don't know, like, if those two guys are on the staff or not.
Okay.
Which they listed more names on there, so maybe he could say, like, hey, it's not true because, like, so-and-so's not going to be on there, and I'm still trying to get Warren Sapp and T.O. But I don't think they'll have any money to pay those guys. Like, I don't see Warren Sapp is just signing up to do that for free. Like, he needs money. Like, he's got financial problems. Same as kind of T.O. Like, I don't see him signing up to do that for, not free, but just for really, really cheap.
Right.
And the thing about those, HBCUs is a lot of them don't have the money to pour into, athletics. They're just trying to kind of.
Yeah, I think there was a couple years ago, a couple of them were, like, boycotting because the conditions were so bad with some of the stuff.
Right. So I don't think they have money to put, like, together, like, a star staff. And those two guys don't seem to me the type to work for cheap. Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, like, if you could tell me that those three guys are going to be there for 4 years, then, yeah, they can get you to the NFL. But, again, I don't think I'm taking that chance. Like, no thanks. And I don't think Deion Sanders is going to be there for longer than 2 years. So.
All right, we'll see. He did offer his son. We'll see. He hasn't made a decision yet on that. Like I said, he's committed to FAU, so we'll see if he changes that up. And then to wrap up, so – got to get an NFL headline, man. The Jets. This isn't my lock of the week or lock of the decade. But I will say the Colts. They got to be looking pretty good going into this Sunday, right? Because the Jets are just an absolute mess with injuries. Adam Gase came out and said yesterday, we're down to whoever has a pulse, whoever is available at this point. I mean, that just sounds like a disaster.
That was good for Josh Malone though. Josh Malone activated. Josh Malone.
Hey, pulse.
Gonna be. Starting wide receiver.
Hey, there we go. Maybe a breakout performance coming out. The main reason I would say is because wide receivers Jamison Crowder and Rashad Perriman are both out. Right tackle George Fant is out. Le'Veon Bell is out. They have some injuries defensively as well. I mean, they are a mess.
Don't forget receiver Denzel Mims.
Denzel Mims still out? He's still out? Man, yeah.
Josh Malone's time to shine. 50% of like survivor pools have picked the Colts this week. I would just say, did you not see them lose to that Jaguars team?
Yeah. I wouldn't put past them.
Like, did you not see them lose to Jacksonville? Are you really going to trust Phillip Rivers? Like, by all means, they should win the game. They're 10-point favorites. Like, by all means, I get it, but I will not be putting the Colts in my survivor pool.
The Jets are just so bad.
That's fine. I don't disagree. Okay. So are the Jaguars.
That's true. All
right. Drew writes in
saying that Jackson State is actually playing in the spring, so I guess maybe they'll fire up. I want to say the first game, was it going to be in March maybe? So we'll see. What were you about to ask, Caden?
So who's your survivor pick this week?
I haven't made one yet.
Okay. Who are you looking at?
Well, I've already selected the Titans and the 49ers. Those are my picks in week 1 and 2.
I told you the 49ers last week, and you're like, I don't know, since you lost last week. I don't think you're going to get it right
again. How long are you going to ride picking the defending Western the defending NFC champions against the Jets? How long are you going to ride that as you make it some big brain pick?
You're the one who disagreed with it.
I took them as my survivor pick. I battled in my
So you say a different thing and then do different. You're hypocritical.
How am I hypocritical? What was my bet of the week last week, Hayden?
I don't know.
It was a two-team teaser with the 49ers and the Ravens.
I know, but
so I thought the 49ers were going to win.
When I said I would pick the
49ers. I put 500 American real dollars on the 49ers winning the game. Like I thought that they were going to win. What are you talking about here?
When you asked who to get survivor pick last week, I said 49ers, and you said, I don't know about that. That's exactly what you said. Let's roll the tape back. You said that.
Please go roll the tape back. Okay. Go find the tape.
And you're like, oh, you also picked the Eagles last week. I'm not going to listen to anybody who lost week one.
I didn't listen to you. I used the pick with my own brain. At no point did I say,
So you disagreed on the radio, and then you just did it, like, in real life.
I don't know if I even disagree on the radio, because, again, Friday in our pick segment, I recommended the 49ers on a teaser. -1.5. That was one of my picks. I gave two-team teasers, and the 49ers were on there.
I gave 49ers -7.
How long are you going to ride this?
I'm just saying.
How long are you going to try to squeeze that out?
I'm just saying. So
you provided us 5 times this week. Again, it was a pretty obvious pick, bro. The Jets stink. The 49ers are good.
You didn't trust them enough to cover?
I didn't trust them enough to cover. I had them on a 2-team teaser. I did what I wanted to do.
Must not have been that obvious.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. You nailed that one.
I know.
Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back on the program. 865-546-8200. If you have any takes on Tennessee season you want to get off your chest, you can hit us up on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. That's 865-546-8200. The G3 Help Me Hotlines. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, go to g3helpme.com and let the law offices of G. Turner Howard III help you or a loved one, your family members, get the money you deserve. That's G3HelpMe.com. Or you can give them a call at 865-558-8030. 558-8030. The G3 Help Me Hotlines. Let's get a 1 o'clock temperature check. You guys feeling good? Hayden, have you backed off your South Carolina beats Tennessee prediction?
Yep.
So no now longer scared?
Now you think Tennessee wins?
Yeah, I got the score prediction in my head, too.
If South Carolina wins, are you going to say that I told you guys I was scared?
Yep.
So you're going to just hedge your bets? You're just going to straddle that fence?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know. I just wanted to call it out before you did it. I told you guys I was scared. So are you scared or not?
I'm not scared. Okay, good. But I will feel – if we do lose, I will feel
– Are you nervous?
I will feel dumb for backing off the take from 2 weeks ago.
But you are saying you backed off the take.
I have, yes.
Okay.
But if we lose –
What's the score prediction you have in your head right now?
Are we doing score predictions right now? Or are we going
to
wait for the
end? Yeah, I mean, we're not supposed to save that for the end of the show, like a big dismount, like, hey, everybody, here are score predictions.
I thought that's what we were going to do, but we don't have to.
I mean, the audience is listening right now at 1:23. They want to know what Hayden thinks. They are dying to know what you think the score is going to be.
Tennessee 34, South Carolina 17.
34-17. Mm-hmm. Tennessee will be wearing 2 patches this year on their jerseys. They're wearing the number 45 to honor.
That's cool.
Johnny Majors. And they are wearing a unity patch to signify they are unified and they are fighting for unity.
Is that all it says, just unity on it?
Nope, it doesn't say unity at all. They're just calling it a unity patch. Okay. It has the torch. And it has a white hand and a black hand doing a strong dap. It's kind of like the gif you'll see.
Oh yeah.
Of is it Stallone and Carl Weathers? Who is that does that? Who I don't know if I know who. You know which one I'm talking about? Where they
the meme? I know
yeah.
what you're talking
is it,
about.
It's like a cartoon. It
no, it's not a cartoon.
I think it's a cartoon one.
It's from like it
may have been Schwarzenegger.
Is it Schwarzenegger? I always thought it was Stallone and Carl Weathers, but I don't know. You guys know the meme I'm talking about. They got the white guy and the black guy violently giving each other, like, assuming, like, looking like they're getting ready to arm wrestle. But they're, like, dapping each other up. Can we get the origins of who that is?
Yeah, I'm on it.
Draven, do you know which one I'm talking about? Do you know what you're searching for?
This?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay, I knew. Yeah.
And who's the black guy?
Of course I knew my memes.
Is it Carl Weathers?
From Predator.
Well, Carl Weathers is in Predator.
Oh, it is from Predator. Yeah.
I even thought it was from Predator, but I forgot. For some reason, is Stallone not in Predator? That might be really stupid.
It is.
Stallone's not in Predator, huh? I got to make a confession here. I've never seen Predator.
Really? I love Predator.
I feel like that's a real blind
Finally
spot.
Finally got one that you haven't seen. Okay.
I feel like that's one of my blind spots in my movies.
Yeah, it's called Carl Weathers.
Okay. A.K.A. Apollo Creed. Maybe that's why I thought it was Stallone. Maybe I kind of got my two movies mixed up from Rocky. I think I have another confession, too. I don't think I've ever watched Rambo, either. I think I might have seen parts of that, but I don't think I've ever watched Rambo.
Parts of it, too.
The 80s, like, action movies, I kind of just... Some of them I got to, some of them I didn't. Was that confusing with Platoon? Who's in Platoon? Is Sly in Platoon? What was that exasperated moan there, Hayden? What was that?
I really don't care about this.
You don't like movies?
The show's not just for you. Cut your mic off. Was your mic on when you exasperatedly groaned into the mic? Okay, your mic was off?
Yeah.
So it was just killing the energy in the room? I've had about enough of you for this hour. You sit over there, Cheeto Boy.
You said who's in?
Yeah, who's Platoon? In Platoon?
William Dafoe, Charlie Sheen.
I know
Sheen.
Charlie Sheen's in it. Was Sly in that one?
Johnny Depp,
okay. No Sly in that one either.
Let me see if I can see the whole cast here.
Platoon and Predator, I haven't seen Platoon either, I don't think.
Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker's in it?
Whitaker's in it, yeah.
No Sly.
Johnny Depp is in this movie.
Tom Berger, Kevin Dillon.
Audience is saying the mic was on, Hayden, they heard the sigh, is what the audience is saying.
Oh.
The audience said they heard your exasperated sigh like these guys are morons. What are you going to talk about? You want to get back to your score prediction? Why do you think it's 34-17? How does Tennessee perform offensively? Are you giving us a defensive touchdown, a special teams touchdown? What do you see happening in this game to get to 34 points? Is JG just ball out? Since it's obviously so
JG
much more important.
Yeah, JG and Eric Gray are going to ball out. Defense going to be solid. Samaglia, two field goals.
Two field goals by Samaglia?
Uh-huh.
So four offensive touchdowns?
Yes. That would be, yep. Correct.
So no defensive or special teams one?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Don't think so. I don't know. Bayless Jones could get hot from the start.
We blocked their punt last year. We got a defensive touchdown last year against them.
We also had a punt return, too.
Yeah, two special teams touchdowns. You're saying we get zero against them?
Wow.
Wow.
It's just not exactly a common thing to happen.
Well, I mean, you got two last year. I'm not asking for two this year. I'm just asking for one.
I'm going to say we probably don't.
Okay.
But... I mean, it's possible, I guess. Tennessee's jerseys, we're wearing all white. Did you see the video?
Are we wearing all white or are we wearing white with the big orange numbers? Because, I mean, like, in the orange collar. Because
I don't like the orange collar.
I don't like the orange collar either. But I don't care about jerseys because I'm a functioning adult.
Straps are back in the pants?
Don't care about that either.
Okay, well. Just the fact that we were wearing.
Go ahead and start talking about that jersey again.
Just the fact that we were wearing white pants instead of orange pants is what I said. Okay, all right.
I don't care about this. I do like the white uniforms. The white, I like the white. That's a good look. The Vols and the Titans both rocking white this weekend. Titans going icy white in Minnesota. That's pretty cool. And I do like when the Vols wear all white. Do you have the record breakdown? What is our record when we go all white, Hayden? Do you have that number? Do you have that breakdown?
Well, currently in these jerseys, we're 0-0, so because they're new.
These are new jerseys this year?
We haven't played with the Ben Naki and the double stripes in the pants.
Have we not?
Don't think so.
We've never had the 45 patch or the
zero,
the Unity
zero.
Patch either.
Wow.
Yeah. Tennessee was like, hey, we're gonna put this 45 patch on here, but we're going with JTM underneath it. We're letting you know it's for Johnny Majors. We don't want you to think it's for, like, the 45th president. Like, hey, this isn't for Trump, guys. This isn't a 45 president sticker. This is just, we put the JTM on there.
I didn't even think about that.
For Johnny. You sure we haven't worn the double stripes before?
We've worn them before, but not with Nike, I don't think. Because we used to have the checkerboard on the side.
Okay. How confident are you in that?
Pretty confident.
You gonna put it on the board?
Since we've had Nikes, it's 2015.
Yeah.
Okay. Double stripe, yeah.
You gonna put it on the board? Team Haven, you feeling good about that?
Draven's just like, what is happening?
You
want
me to walk you through it, Draven? When we first got Nike, we had solid stripe on the side that faded into checkerboards on the side. And then we took the checkerboards off, yeah. And we just did solid stripe. Then we took the stripes off. We had no stripes last year or the year before, I guess, when Pruitt's been here. And then we put the double stripes back on this year. So I didn't hear any more double stripes in there since 2015. So
I'm going to take your word for it, Aiden.
I don't want to put on the board.
Now that I
want to see how confident
it.
You are in it.
I'll put it on the board right now.
Well, I don't want to.
Double points.
No, I don't want to.
Somebody's scared.
I'm not scared. I just was seeing how confident you were since you're our Jersey boy.
I'm not your Jersey boy.
You're our Jersey boy.
You actually asked me to stop talking about it, and I did immediately. And then you asked about it again. So which do you want?
I got some breaking news for you, Hey.
Hit the horn boy.
George Kittle has been ruled out this Sunday.
Oh.
So I just
wanted. What is that for?
I traded him
yesterday.
Oh.
Him and AJ Brown.
Kaden thinks he's balling now in the fantasy trade.
You traded George Kittle and AJ Brown for whom?
Melvin Gordon and Robert Woods.
Well, you're going to win this week whenever they're both out, but moving forward.
I had to have a running back. I lost Saquon.
I hear you. Somebody took advantage of you for later in the season. Hopefully they're 2-0.
It will help. I gave them better players, but.
Yeah, I understand it. You got to do what you got to do. And they did what they had to do. I'm not judging you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you just would have taken Nick Chubb for Thielen, you could have been.
It's not the same league.
Oh, okay. Well, this was an enthralling segment. Good job by all of us to come together for that. I'm sure the G3 Help Me hotlines blew up during that segment.
No, we went from the Predator movie to
Platoon. Don't forget, we went to Platoon.
Platoon.
I did see Red Dawn, though. I did like Red Dawn when I was younger. The original. Although it was a little too long and sad.
I have no idea what that is. What is Red Dawn?
They made a remake about it, so maybe you should have known, but the Russians invade America.
Oh, okay.
And Charlie Sheen and Patrick Swayze have to try to stop them.
Exactly.
Charlie Sheen's in a military movie?
It's not a military movie.
Oh.
Although he was in Platoon, it was a military movie, so I mean, yeah.
You're saying you don't trust Charlie Sheen to save us?
I just don't see him in a military movie.
Did Charlie
movie,
Sheen win an award for the Platoon? Didn't he win like an Oscar for that? Am I making that up? I'm not asking you, Hayden.
I don't know anything about the awards.
I want to say Charlie Sheen won an award for that, or at least was nominated. So yeah, he was in a military movie, and I think that's what made him famous. I think his performance in Platoon is what made him a big-time actor for a while. If I'm not mistaken.
Is Major League before Platoon or after?
No, after.
Okay.
Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. It does not appear that Charlie Sheen was nominated himself, but like it won Best Picture and Best Director. So like, I mean, Platoon was a big winner at the Oscars, but not Charlie Sheen himself. But it was credited as his breakout role. So I'll take 60% correct on that one, 40% wrong.
Congratulations.
You got to take the wins when you get them, buddy. You got to take the wins when you can get them.
It doesn't come off often for you, I guess.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, big loser over here. Just been printing money for the people with my picks for 2 weeks straight. But either way, no big deal. Since the Lions game, which we all know I got screwed on that one.
Oh, yeah, y'all, you got screwed, yeah.
Everyone knows the Lions got screwed on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Blow a 17-point fourth quarter lead. I mean, it was like a historic meltdown.
The Lions have cost two lock of the weeks this the first 2 weeks of the NFL season here.
Yeah, and I told you not to bet the Lions week one, too. Remember that?
And then you did
and
it week
I
two.
I turned around and bet them week two, and then...
I have no problem betting on the Lions. But I figured out you just got to bet them in the first half. Me and the Lions are friends now. I understand what the Lions... what I need to do with the Lions. They were better than the Bears. They should have won by... They should have won going away. Now I just know, bet them in the first half. You guys think George Kittle's keep getting held out because of that turf? Or just because they're playing the Giants and the Giants stink and they're just like, hey, it's a long season. We need Kittle to be healthy.
I think, yes, and his knee is also really hurt, too.
Yeah.
I think it's just a combo. Like, I think he, of course, he probably could play through it a little bit, but yeah, like with the.
It didn't
look
great.
You want him rest of the season, and yeah, like you said, the turf they're kind of concerned with, so no use in risking him this week.
I would like if the 49ers like, you know what, we refuse to play. We're not playing this week.
Vikings got two corners out.
Tannehill and the Titans about to eat. Tannehill and Titans about to eat. Are injuries just going to be like a long-running storyline this week, this whole year?
Seems like it.
In the NFL?
I've seen a ton of teams that look kind of like, not necessarily decimated, but every team's got a few big guys out, it seems like.
Right now on the front page of ESPN's NFL website is, it's not too early to talk about Russell Wilson in the MVP race. Just keep in mind, after week one, I told you, like, that's going to be the narrative all year. Russell's winning this MVP. Russell's winning this MVP. It's going to be the story. Patriots without their center. He's having thumb surgery. David Andrews.
Wasn't he hurt last year too?
I believe so.
Yeah.
What are the games you're looking forward to most this weekend? Excluding the Ravens Chiefs because that's on Monday. That's the biggest Monday Night Football game, I guess, since, what was it, 2018 Chiefs-Rams?
Yeah. Yeah, that one was fun.
When that one was good.
But that one wasn't even anticipated to be that good, was it?
Well, not before the year, but by the time
the season started.
By the time we got to the game week, like, we were waiting on that one. Like, the Chiefs, and that was, like, week 11, and those teams were, you know, killing it on offense.
In Mexico, too, wasn't it?
It was in Mexico, too. Yeah. No. It was supposed to be in Mexico, but they ended up doing it in L.A. Because the turf, they couldn't get it situated. What game are you looking forward to most this weekend?
Buffalo, L.A.
Yeah, that's all I was going to say.
It's going to be a fun one, I think. At least entertaining.
I just gave you all the games of the week, and you just told me Buffalo, L.A. is the one you're looking forward to the most?
Not the most. You said which ones are you looking forward to. I was just going to kind of go through a couple. That one, just because I want
to
see.
Your mind jumped to Rams, Bills? I mean, it's a battle of two 2-0 teams. I mean,
I was reading down the list into the third game, and the second one was the Falcons, and I know you didn't want me to say that one.
Thank God for not saying that one. Thank God for not saying that one.
I'm really interested in that game. I think that game could be the best game of the week.
Rams-Bills?
Yeah, besides the Chiefs and Ravens, yep. I believe it is.
Sell me on it.
Well, just compared to the other games, I think the Packers are going to blow out the Saints. I think the Saints' defense is trash.
So it's not so much you think this game's good, it's just you don't think these other games are good? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
The Cowboys and Seahawks, I feel like that could be a decent game, but...
that's going to be a fun game regardless. Both those teams just play dumb games. Like,
yeah, I think the
Seahawks
are
and
gonna...
Cowboys will be dramatic one way or the other just because both those teams are stupid. I say that with all due respect because like, I like the Seahawks and I like the Cowboys. If I had to pick, before the year I picked the Cowboys, but like right now if I had to pick a team to come out of the NFC, it might be the Seahawks. Although the Packers kind of have my attention. But I got to wait to see them do it against a good team.
All right. I'll sell you on Rams-Bills.
Sell me on Rams-Bills.
So basically, it's two 2-0 teams. Bills haven't really played anybody yet. The Rams also haven't quite really played anybody.
They beat
you
the Cowboys.
Say.
They beat the Eagles. Yeah. I will say that they've played somebody.
Okay.
Between the two of
they
those teams.
They play a tougher schedule, for sure.
Yeah, but between the Cowboys and the Eagles, there's at least
a playoff team
1.25 good teams there. Like, I mean, like maybe they're both 0.75. Maybe it's more like 1.5 good teams there. But yeah, they've played somebody.
Okay, so... Rams are a decent little team right now. Rams, I think they're going to make it to the playoffs. Bills should win their division, but they haven't played anybody, so you're trying to see if they're for real, if Josh Allen's for real.
Okay.
Can he still keep putting up these big numbers?
Okay.
Like, he's leading the NFL in passing right now, which is not what anybody probably would have expected going into week three. So it's basically going to see if they can still be explosive against a better team the same way they were against, you know, their early opponents. And I think that'd be a big sign to be like, okay, the Bills may be like an actual, you know, so maybe not a contender, but somebody that could be, you know, a threat to make a brief run into the playoffs.
Okay.
If they can still be explosive against good teams.
I think we got a good interpersonal matchup here, a good one-on-one between Ramsey and Diggs. I think that individual matchup worthy of watching. And I'm also wondering if Josh Allen tries to – I'm curious to see if Josh Allen can outrun Aaron Donald. If Aaron Donald starts chasing him.
That's what I was going to say. Aaron Donald.
Can he get away or will Aaron Donald kill him?
I think Josh Allen's got just enough. Just enough to kill.
What's the spread over on my bookie? Bill still
minus
two.
Minus two.
The Rams, 13-5 since the start of last year against the spread. That's a pretty good percentage there.
Yeah.
2-0 this year, right?
2-0 this year. They went 11-5 last year, so 13-5 their last 18 games since the start of last year.
Yeah, they are minus.
Which is a little surprising because they seemed to struggle last year, and like I mean, they were a team that had inflated lines because we had seen them come out of the Super Bowl. For a team that went 9-7, it's weird to me that they went 11-5 against the spread.
Yeah, that is a little odd, but interesting. Okay, but yeah, I think that should be a fun competitive game.
I don't know if I'll give it game of the week status, but I mean, like I said, you do have some individual matchups.
I'd still probably lean towards either the Dallas, Seattle, or the Green Bay, New Orleans game, probably as game of the week. But in the 1 o'clock slot, that's one of the games I'm looking forward to. Outside of maybe Houston, Pittsburgh, I feel like could be semi entertaining.
It seems like that's Houston's season on the line there.
Yeah. Can Houston hold up against that Pittsburgh pass rush? And I think that's going to be big if Deshaun Watson can run around enough to keep Houston in that game.
Yeah, if Pittsburgh gets to 3-0 and then the Titans take care of business against Minnesota, you could have a 3-0 versus 3-0 matchup in Nashville next weekend because the Titans and Steelers play. So that could, I don't want to say it would be the game of the weekend because I don't know what else is on the schedule, but when you put 3-0 against 3-0,
yeah,
teams that have aspirations in the AFC, that would be one of the marquee games. All right, let's catch a break. We'll come back with Draven. You ready?
I'm ready.
It's time for Draven's pick of the week, of the year, of the decade. It's his last chance to win over, wipe the slate clean, show to you, the audience, that he's got what it takes. Redeem himself after leading you astray many times so far in his career on Talk Sports. Mm-hmm. Many times he has led you astray, but I still believe in you, Draven.
Appreciate it. And this pick is a lock, I'm telling you. It's a lock.
Okay.
Yep, it's a lock.
Confidence is there.
Yeah, I'm feeling good about it.
Can't wait to hear what it is. You haven't told us what it is yet, so I'm excited to hear it. It's going to be the Cowboys plus 4.5.
Trust
Dak. He's going on the road. He's going to take care of Seattle. They're going to be able to score. Look at what Cam Newton did to them. I'm telling you. They're going to score enough points. Backdoor cover. Cowboys cover. Oh, my God. That's what you say. Let's go to he's scrambling. That's what he's thinking.
Back to the drawing board. Back to the drawing board.
Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, I'm ready. Let's hear it as we get ready to make some picks on these weekend's games. We've been hearing about this pick for a week. He has guaranteed success. I feel like if you lose this, Draven, you owe the audience a punishment of some sort.
Okay, I'll take that. That's
like
fair.
This is you're putting basically a year's worth of board bets on the line here because a guarantee is a guarantee. Where I'm from, if you call something a lock, if you call something a guarantee, you got to be willing to put something on the line. And I don't want you to be financially responsible because I almost was like, hey, if you bet on this and you lose, send us a screenshot and Draven will reimburse you a percentage of your losses. I didn't want to put that financial burden on you, so we will just put this is basically a season's worth of board bets on the line for you because you've told the audience that you guarantee this, and on Talk Sports, a guarantee means a guarantee.
Yes, sir. This is a guarantee.
The floor is yours. What is the pick of the week, of the year, of the decade?
All right, and you guys are going to all sit here and say that I'm a homer and that I'm just rooting for the stars in the audience. They're probably saying that out there, too, while they're driving down the road. This guy, here we go. He's going to talk about the Dallas Cowboys again. Here's the whole charade. Listen to me. First of all, let's just look at this season, right? Let's just look at this season. So, Cam Newton, man, good old Cam Newton. By the way, did you know that Nathan Peterman, 3 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, get paid more than Cam Newton is in his career. He gets paid right now more than Cam Newton.
Yep.
Nathan Peterman does.
What does this have to do with
just stick with me for a second,
Hayden. This is his segment, Hayden.
Just stick with me for a second.
This is the pick of the week, of the year, of the decade. Let him have his moment. So, yes, we knew that Cam Newton was making more less money than Nathan Peterman.
Yes. Okay. All right. So, all these teams, they passed on Cam Newton. And, yeah, Cam's looked pretty good, right? He's looked pretty good. But, I mean, 397 yards on that Seattle secondary when your best receivers are Julian Edelman. Okay, yeah, maybe Julian Edelman's pretty good. I thought it was just Brady. Okay, we'll give Julian Edelman a pass. But N'Keal Harry... Did you guys hear N'Keal Harry's name last year? No, you sure didn't.
The only time I heard N'Keal Harry's name is when I was screaming it at Patriots fans.
Exactly.
In the stands in the playoffs when I told them they drafted him over A.J. Brown.
Exactly. Never heard N'Keal Harry. Damir Bird?
I just kept yelling that at them.
Damir Bird. Do you know who Damir Bird is?
I've heard the name, but no, I don't know who Damir Bird is.
Don't know who Damir Bird is. And you're telling me these guys right here almost went for 400 passing yards against the Seattle secondary?
Yeah.
That's pretty rough. And you say, okay, well, Seattle's still a pretty good team, right? They got the 12th man. They're up in Seattle. Tough to play up there, isn't it, John? Don't you
think?
That's what many people say, right? Did you know, dating back to last year, that they are 3-6 against the spread at home?
I did know that.
Did you know that they last year, that they went 4-4 at home last year?
Yeah.
And was better on the road. They went 7-1 on the road, 4-4 at home last year.
The 12th man is a little overrated, and not to mention, like, no fans in the stands.
No fans in the stands. And in those home losses, listen to how close they – or in the home wins, the games they won at home, listen to how close these games were. Cincinnati, to start the season, won by 1 point.
Okay.
L.A. Rams, early in the season, Thursday night, won by 1 point, game-winning field goal. Crazy game.
Yeah.
Lost to Baltimore at home.
I believe that was the Rams missed a kick at the end of that game as well.
Yes, sure did. Yes, sir. Tampa Bay, overtime, at home. Jameis Winston, he was throwing picks, but they still went to overtime. 40-34, super close game. Monday Night Football at home against Kirk Cousins.
You put the Seahawks in primetime at home, of course they're going to cover.
What? Kirk Cousins, though, on Monday Night Football? Kirk Cousins is like the ultimate choke artist on Monday Night Football, yet he still only lost by one score, a touchdown, to the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle.
Oh, I was trying to set you up. I thought you were going to have a better hammer there. I thought they might have lost the game.
No, they didn't.
I do remember they covered that one. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, but
I was trying to set you up there by trying to
play
into it.
Hey, it's
but
cool.
I do remember that Monday Night Football game, and yeah.
And then their last two home games of the regular season, you know what they did? They lost to the Arizona Cardinals, who are not even close to what they are this year. 27-13, double-digit loss. Kenyon Drake, 80-yard touchdown run in that game. Ridiculous.
Now, I would point out just to our audience, in the sake of us giving all the context, that game didn't really matter because they had to beat San Francisco the next week anyways. So,
and they lost that game anyways.
But I would point out they lost that game on the one-yard line as time expired.
They did.
As close as you could get to winning the game. I'm just saying, as close as you could get. The Cardinals game, I'm not really going to count because it didn't really matter. It's kind of like the Titans losing to the Saints in Week 16. Didn't really matter for playoff position, so you didn't have a full game plan. You didn't have a full roster. And then Week 17, they did lose to that 49ers team, and it did make me mad because I had bet on the Seahawks, and they got tackled on the inch-yard line, and I was pretty mad. But you lay out a good case. The Seahawks at home.
3-6 against the spread since last year at home. 12th man. No fans, like we said. And not to mention, Seattle, through two games, is the worst passing defense in the NFL. And it's not even close. They have given up 415 yards per game. And you could say, yeah, Matt Ryan, little garbage time, whatever. But the next closest are the Atlanta Falcons at 372.
Nice.
That is a huge, huge difference
We're
in a two-game span in passing yards. And you're telling me that they can't stop Julian Edelman, Damir Bird, and N'Keal Harry, but they're going to be able to stop CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, Ezekiel Elliott on a 5-point spread? My goodness, this is the lock of a decade, 5.5. Okay. You're giving me way too many points here for basically a home team that has no fans, that technically has not had a home field advantage in the past 2 years.
Coming off of an emotional win.
Coming off an emotional Sunday night win.
The Cowboys came off an emotional win themselves.
They did. But also, you're going to say,
shorter week, but okay.
Yeah, and you're going to also say, you know, the Cowboys, they were terrible in that Falcons game. They were terrible. Have you ever seen a team fumble that many times and still come back and find a way to win? Have you ever seen a team have that bad of a first quarter? I thought I was in a nightmare. I thought I haven't woken up. I thought I was about to say, okay, I'm ready to wake up 11 a.m. Sunday, be ready for the game. No, it was real, and it was 20-0, and they kept fumbling. And what did they do, John? What did they do?
They knocked our fumbling linebacker out of the game.
And then what did we do after that?
He stopped punching out fumbles.
They found a way to win.
They found a way to win.
So just to be sure, you're talking about Cowboys plus 5.5.
Plus 5.5.
The money
on
line's
my
not
bookie.
Your lock, just 5.5.
No, not money line. The spread
plus five and a half.
Because even if Dallas loses this game, I think it's going to be a really close game.
Why's my team doing that?
Plus five and a half. plus 5.5. Book it right now. That's the lock of the decade. Lock of the week. And again, you're going to say I'm a homer.
No.
But I mean, the stats don't lie. The stats don't lie.
I'll even help you out a little bit. The last 10 games, Dallas have been underdogs. Do you know what the record is against the spread? Last 10 times they've been underdogs?
What is it?
Do you have a guess?
7-3?
1-9.
1-9?
No, I'm just kidding. They're 8-2.
Okay, I was about to say.
No, they're 8-2. They're 8-2 as underdogs.
Wow. Wow.
And the Cowboys are dogs. They have covered 8 of the last 10.
What do you think, Hayden?
I mean, it could happen.
Great analysis.
I don't know if I would put the lock of the decade on this game,
no,
but
this is the lock of the decade.
I heard what you said.
You know what? I knew you were going to be on the Cowboys.
I applaud
your
confidence.
As I showed last segment, I knew that was coming. As I sit here and think, who would he be willing to? But at the same time, if you're going to go out, you're going to go out with your team.
Yes, sir. That was my mindset. And the spread, I mean, like
five
I said,
and a half,
it's
five
a lot
and a half
of points.
Seems a little high.
For two talented teams with no defenses.
And I think the Cowboys, like you laid out, the Cowboys are better, at least on offense, than the Patriots were. And the Patriots didn't have any trouble moving the ball. The Patriots were 1 yard away from winning that game.
Yep.
And they lost by what, five?
Yep.
That would have been good enough to cover this spread.
Exactly.
That game was in Seattle as well, right? So New England had to travel all across the country. Dallas, a lot less of a travel.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to ride with it.
Let's go.
I'm riding with
you. Let's go. The audience will thank me Monday.
8-2 against the spread as underdogs.
So what's the punishment if this doesn't happen?
We'll have to figure it out later.
No, you got to figure it out before, because if you do it after, then he's just going to try to lessen it if he loses.
But we were not going to let him, because there's three of us and one of him.
Okay.
And Draven is a man of his word.
I am. I'm a man of my word.
Draven's a man of his word. He'll do it.
I sure will. Man, I feel good about this one. Ooh, I feel good.
You're about to wipe the slate clean. You're about to win the trust of everyone back over. Cowboys plus 5.5. Draven's lock of the week, of the year, of the decade.
Yep.
Send us a break. Hour 2's in the books. Hour 3's on deck. We'll kick it off with headlines as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.